Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight into the destiny that God has called and called us for and commissioned us for. It is a place where we see the demonstration of God's power, His love, His life, His truth, His authority in our life, moving us from height to height, depth to depth, to the places that He's commissioned for our lives. And it's a wonderful place because we understand that we didn't call ourselves there, we didn't commission ourselves there, but God Himself has allowed us to go there by His grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be in. In this place, we understand God, we know Him, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We become closer to Him, more intimate. We know Him as our God. We know Him as our Savior, He's our King. We know Him in a way that other people will not know Him because we're intimately, actively, by faith, involved in a relationship of trust, of dependency, of faith on God. So it's a wonderful thing. We've been looking and studying unlikely places of blessings, and we've been looking at places where it looks and appears as if God does not show up the way that we think, or the way that we plan, or the way that we see it in our own mind. And this place that we think that everything that God has said is going in the opposite direction is the time that God will show up and do the miraculous. He will cause a miracle to happen in our lives and demonstrate Himself, showing Himself very strong and powerful, showing Himself great and mighty. And when He does, it not only blesses us, but it blesses our house, and it blesses those around us. Those in the Bibles of God who would use in these predicaments and in these seasons where impossible situations were against them, but God shows up and allows a blessing to take them and overtake them, are people that had faith and trust in God and depended on God. And the nation itself was blessed because of these individuals. And these are people like Esther and Ruth and Joseph and Joshua, even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were put in impossible situations, but God always showed up, and He always showed Himself strong and mighty. And even more people in the Bible we can study and see that they had impossible odds against them, but God always shows up. We're now looking at unlikely place of blessing, and it's dealing with leadership, how you're being prepared for leadership in an unlikely place, in an unpredictable place. And this is David. We're looking at the book of Samuel, and we're seeing how God chose David, prepared David, and used David, and made him one of the greatest leaders that Israel's ever seen. So we see that, and we understand that, and so we're going to go back to this study, and we're going to see the process of what David went through. If you look at his process, it was a long process, but it was a process that was necessary because he was not only being raised himself to be the king, but the men with him were being raised to have an intimate relationship with God, to know God, to have integrity, and to live by a standard of righteousness. So he was raising up men that would duplicate everything that God spoke to Abraham about in Genesis 12 to be a blessing, that as they are a blessing to other people, allowing God to be the blessing to them and in them and through them, they now become a blessing to everything and everyone around them, that their house now looks like and exemplifies the character of God, the righteousness of God, the nature of God. And even though these men are not perfect because the Holy Spirit had not yet come, and even now we're still not perfect because we're still depending on the grace and the mercy of God, but it shows that they were aligning themselves to the standard of what God says and to the best of their ability. They were doing it. And when they made mistakes, they made sacrifices of repentance unto the Lord. So we see that God was not only raising up David, but he was raising up a nation that would believe and trust in God by the leadership of David, by the men that were around him, and how they reared their house and how they reared their children. Now they were going to duplicate what was right, what was righteous, and what was good in the sight of God. So we're going to go and we're going to look at this again. We're going to look further into what is getting ready to be the transition and the exchange of leadership. Saul has been making some terrible mistakes, and I've said it before, a lot of the things that Saul did, because even though Saul had problems and issues that had never been resolved from being young, his younger years, he still didn't see the need to repent before God, even though he knew he was sinning. And that was because Saul lives for the praise of the people, the approval of the people, because there was something in him that had not been healed and delivered, something in him that had not been resolved. He saw himself as the smallest nation in the tribes of Israel. He saw himself as the weaker one. He saw himself as less than. And how we know this is because whenever they called him to be king, he hid himself. He hid himself as if he was nothing, as if he was nobody. And so once he now begins to get this praise and he gets this recognition and people are honoring him, it brought out of him something that was already there. And if he had gone to God and he had repented and showed that he really wanted to be the king that God said, then this would be a different story. But he did not do that. God even goes to him with the prophet Samuel and tells him, these things will be yours if you do what God says. But he never did. And when he failed to do what God says, and the prophet goes to him and confronts him because God revealed it to the prophet Samuel, he made excuses. So it went from one thing to the next, and he never repented for the things that he did, which basically led him to the place of his demise. Now, as we look at the 27th and 28th chapter, 1 Samuel, we're going to see some of these things that are going to lead to his demise. Now, you have to understand that David is now staying in Gath. He's staying in the Philistine country. He's there. He's settled in Ziklag, and he's outside of the city, outside of the people, because the king wanted him to stay inside of the city. He wanted to give him all these titles and do all these things for him. But David wouldn't allow that to happen because David understood, first of all, he was not there to stay. He was not there to partner with them. He understood that they were there, that they were his enemy, the enemies of Israel. And he was only there hiding from Saul because he knew Saul was not going to come into that territory and hunt after him. He was outside of the city so he can spy out the land. He learned what the land was like, the region of the land, how it worked. He learned hiding places. And he used this later on when he began to fight the Philistines after he became king. He also did not want to be involved with the practices of immorality with the Philistines, the idol worship, their sacrifices. He did not want to be involved with that because he still believed and represented the God of heaven, and he still wanted to be in right relationships, even though he was in the wrong place, so to speak, at that time. So he didn't want all those things, but he was, as he was going out to raid, he was raiding the cities and the nations that were against Israel. So he was defeating these nations and killing everyone there so that no one would go back and tell the king what he was doing. Every time he went out and raided, the king would ask where he had raided at, and he would tell them of these cities that were basically cities or people that were in line with Israel. And he made it appear as if he was going against Israel, that he was fighting against Israel and everyone that was aligned with Israel. But that was not the truth. The nations that he was aligned with were at peace with him. They were not at war. But he made the king believe that he was against them. And he was so convincing that the king thought that David had permanently left the side of Israel and was on his side. He thought that David was not going to be a threat, that David was always going to serve in his kingdom, and that David was going to be the one that was going to help him defeat Israel. He really believed that David was going to be the one that was going to help take Israel down, because you have to remember that when David aligned himself with, when David came on board with Saul and he aligned himself with the vision of God and doing what God says, defeating all the enemies of Israel, David killed many Philistines. He took down Goliath himself. Now, he's in Gath, but he took down Goliath himself and defeated many, many Philistines, many by himself with the men that he had. He defeated many. And then the armies of Israel defeated many of the Philistines because God was moving against them, and he was letting them know that he was going to take them down. This was part of what God had promised to Abraham and even Joshua about going in and subduing the land. Now, God didn't allow all of their enemies to be destroyed or defeated because he said, if I do, then you'll forget. You'll forget me. But as long as I keep an enemy in your life, you're going to always run to me. I don't want God to have to keep enemies in our life for us to always praise him, love him, adore him, need him, trust him, and run to him. I want us to do it because we love him and we want to be his forever, and we want that relationship to be renewed every single day that we live. That's what my desire is, that I don't have to have an enemy for God to know that I want him and I'm panting after him, that every day that I live, every day that I get up, that I want him to be my heartbeat, my thoughts. I want him to be what I think about when I get up all throughout the day and when I lay down at night. So that's my heart's desire, and I pray that is yours as well. Now, we get here, and there's a battle between the Philistines and Israel. And the king has basically told David, because David says, I want to be a servant. I don't want a name or anything else. The king has made David his personal guardian, his chief guardian. And he's asked that David come to the battle. And he's done this because he wants David to be in the forefront so that all of Israel can see that David is on their side. And that was his reason for doing this. Now, David knows if he denies the king, his life is in danger. So he's now depending on God to defend him and to get him out of this predicament, to get him out of this place, and to do something mighty for him, because David knows he cannot be the enemy of Israel, because he can't even look like he's the enemy of Israel, because he knows that he's supposed to be the king. So we get to this place, and Saul comes, the Israelites are on one side and the Philistines are on another side. And when Saul sees this battle, when he sees this army, when he sees them, he is greatly afraid. He is greatly afraid because he understands that now that Samuel is dead, now that Samuel's gone, he doesn't have anyone that is going before God speaking for him. Even though he has other prophets around him, it's not like it was with Samuel. Now, they get here at this place, and the Bible lets us know that all the mediums, all the necromancers who are basically those who communicate with the dead, all the spiritualists are, they've been forbidden to come into the city. They've been forbidden. They've been driven out. So there's none in the city, and the Bible lets them know that they're not supposed to be there. So Saul basically, because he's consulting God, he doesn't get anything from the presence of God, not in dreams, not in the prophets that are around him, and his heart is trembling. He's afraid of this battle. He's very, very afraid of this battle. Instead of him repenting, instead of him saying, God, I've sinned, I need you, here I am, I'm coming back to you, wash me, cleanse me, instead of him doing that, he goes further into his rebellion, into his sin, and he goes and he consults a medium. He asks his men to find him a medium so he can consult with Samuel, and he disguises himself so that he can go and talk to this lady. Now, this is the place where we see that his complete disobedience, his persistent disobedience, has left him completely without confidence in the presence of God and without the protection of God. And he still does not recognize that he will never get that protection outside of the will of God. We have to be very, very careful that we do not go in our own way and be justified in our own actions and our own deed with pride and a haughty spirit, which is what Saul was operating in, a prideful, haughty spirit of justification. He was justifying his actions, everything that he had done, and he was not godly sorry or repented for anything that he had done because he continued to walk in sin. He continued to be arrogant against the will of God. And we don't want that, because when you do, you are leaving a door open to be devoured by the enemy and not have the protection or the presence of the Lord. And I don't know about you, I need the presence of the Lord. I need the protection of the Lord. David even said, whatever you do, don't take your spirit from me. Don't take your presence from me. Don't take your power from me. And this is what Saul has done. He's turned from one source to a forbidden source, and he's now, this is going to result in his death. as we'll go further in tomorrow. We don't have any more time for today. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thanks so much for joining me for Favor Life, and I pray that you're getting empowered by this and you're seeing not to make the same mistakes as we see in the Bible, that we hold fast to that which you know is right, and we do it the way that God says, with all of our heart, loving him and knowing that he is the Lord of our life, and if, as we trust him, he's going to be glorified. Have a wonderful day. Be blessed, and we'll see you tomorrow.